now, 864-654-3680. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
If you are looking for first-class service, consider First Class Halt. Here at First Class Halt, our technicians are not paid by commission. All this does is promote unnecessary repairs and dollars being spent by you. We pride ourselves on being honest. We will never sell you a service that doesn't need to be done, and no surprises. All prices must be approved by you before work is done. Come see what First Class service really means. First Class Halt, located in Anderson and Greenville.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One, trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
Walt Tip to the Road Rage, rejoined by Taj Boyd, Josh Phillips. Again, all sorts of incredible feedback on the show. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Select Travis Etienne,
ooh,
running back, Clemson.
There you go. we just told you that I'm pretty sure we just explained this exactly, that once the first running back went off the board, there would be increased pressure to take the second running back, and you just saw that. You just saw that exact thing. And now, quite frankly, the happiest guy sitting out there waiting to hear his name called is Javonte Williams, because he might go in round one. The North Carolina back, I would not be shocked if he goes in round one now. He's the last guy. He's the last guy for 40 picks. So there you have it. The Clemson... I'm sorry, Ramona?
Nothing.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
The Clemson combination rekindled in Jacksonville. It makes perfect sense. It really does. I mean, I think it's a really good pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's something that people discussed. I heard Kelly talking about it earlier, the possibility, and now it's more than a possibility. It's actually happened. So I think that it's not surprising. I wish it had just moved up just a tiny bit for me, because I was so damn close to having that in that order. But a pick later, my guy Travis Etienne, who when he was in high school, I said he would be the best running back in Clemson football history, and I think he has been. And now he's going to go play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let me tell you something, gentlemen. And do we have them locked in, Ramona? There are some very, very happy Jacksonville Jaguar fans tonight. Very, very happy. Taj Boyd and Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. Some very happy Jags fans. Do we have that, Ramona? Do we have them? Okay. Josh Phillips. We've lost Taj temporarily. Taj will get back in. Josh Phillips, we just talked about this scenario. We talked about the possibility that Travis could go here immediately. We also just talked about the fact that as soon as that first running back came off, it puts pressure to take the second one, and we just saw that.
Yeah, if we were in the war room, I guarantee you this was an Urban Meyer pick. Urban loves guys that can play multiple position and can run. And that's the thing with Travis Etienne, is he can line up at running back. He can line up in the slot. He can line up outside in empty packages. His versatility is unbelievable. And Urban loves those type of guys. He had him at Florida, and he can run. So I think this is awesome. It's awesome for Travis. I think it's a phenomenal pick. I think it's a great fit. Everything about this is a home run for me, and what Urban's trying to do down in Jacksonville. Now he's got a guy that's a lot like Alvin Kamara, Tyreek Hill. He's not as fast as Tyreek, but he's, Tyreek Hill 2.0 is a dang good football player. And I think Travis fits that bill, and he can move around all over this offense.
Yeah, he bettered himself as a player throughout his time at Clemson. He was a guy who came to Clemson and could not catch the ball at all and really, really worked at his craft. And that says a lot about him in general. And by the time he left to head to the NFL, he had actually made himself a very competent receiver, maybe even better than competent, a quality receiver of the football out of the backfield. Okay. We're told that the Cleveland Browns pick is in now, so things are picking up speed a little bit here. So not surprised by the Jaguars. Look, I'll tell you who I had the Browns taking here, and I think if the Browns have any brains at all, and they've proven they do in recent years, I think the pick here should be obvious. I think the Cleveland Browns need to take Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I think he's clearly the best player on the board. I mean, by a lot at this point. Could they draft a receiver? Yeah, I think Elijah Moore is the best receiver, and I think they could use another weapon. But I think you go.
The pandemic revealed the depths of the digital divide for underserved students.
Okay, that was the fake announcement. Is that right? That was a fake announcement. Okay. The Cleveland Browns have done a lot of good work, Josh. I think they're a team that is ready to compete to go to the Super Bowl. In fact, I've already picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I like what they've done in the offseason. I think they've made themselves significantly better. And, they want, in this defensive scheme, they want position versatility. They're going to be playing more nickel and dime coverage. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
All right. Are you guys ready for the best in the land with the 26th pick for the 2021 NFL Draft for the Cleveland Browns? We have Gregory Newsom II.
Woo. Well, look, Newsom's a round one cornerback that probably should have been off the board by this point. He goes here. I think it's a solid pick for Cleveland. I think it's another good pick. I'm a little surprised they didn't go for the overall player that Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is, but he is suffering from Isaiah Simmons syndrome. Teams were afraid of Isaiah Simmons because they're afraid of themselves. They didn't know quite how to use him, and it's clear that's carried over now to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. There's no way he should be on the board at 26. I mean, there was a lot of suggestion, conjecture that the Raiders would take him at 17. I decided against that for a variety of reasons. And again, he's a little smaller, but he delivers a load. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, when you hear a Notre Dame tackle, you know who's done it. It's that guy. And I am very surprised he's still on the board. And again, not that I don't like this pick. I do. I think that this is a good pick for Cleveland. He was the next cornerback who should have come off the board. I'm surprised he wasn't off the board already. So I don't have any problem. I'm just a little surprised by it because I thought that with Owusu-Koramoah there that they might go in that direction. And this brings us to a really interesting point of this draft as we're headed towards the end of round one. And I think we have Taj back. Welcome back, Taj Boyd.
Tell me about, obviously, this guy can play, but tell me about the potential of Eric Stokes with this maybe next pick with New Orleans, because I know they need a corner.
Well, look, Stokes is
Baltimore's on the clock, my bad. Wrong one.
Yeah. No. Well, looks, and Stokes is a great athlete. Obviously, he ran 4.25, and it's going to be interesting to see how these teams view Campbell versus Stokes. I think most teams will have Campbell above Stokes, the two Georgia corners, but they're both super athletes. I mean, Campbell ran a 10-300 meter in high school, and Stokes actually ran faster at their pro day, and as far as the Ravens are concerned, look, I think they need offensive line help, but I think they're trying to do that through free agency. And so what I really think they need is they desperately need edge guys, and they desperately need a number one receiver.
Yeah.
Elijah Moore is here, but they don't need Elijah Moore. They need a big-bodied red zone target, somebody that represents a target for Lamar. I do not like this point of the draft for Baltimore. I really don't. I don't like their options at receiver or edge at this spot, and that's where we are. I mean, I have them in those two picks. I have them taking Azeez Ojulari and Terrace Marshall, but I don't really like either one of those picks. To me, I'm not even sure, to my way of thinking, I view them as borderline round one guys, really round two guys that I moved into round one based on Baltimore's needs. But the best player on the board right now is Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. He's the best player on the board. Now, is he a fit for what Baltimore does? Not necessarily, but I still think he's the best player on the board. Go ahead, Taj.
I love Jeremiah, man. God, he's so explosive.
Oh, go ahead, Josh.
But I get what you're saying about the whole Isaiah Simmons effect, you know?
Huh.
I mean, because, you know, where do you play that guy? I mean, we know how valuable Isaiah was watching him in Clemson week to week. And obviously, Jeremiah presents that same opportunity on defense. But, you know, he's not a true linebacker. He's not a true edge rusher. He could be a hybrid safety linebacker. But he's just one of those guys where you got to have him. And then you commit to him, and then you build around it after that and just leave it at that. I don't think you need to have it all figured out at this point. But, you know, we got a guy who's supposed to, I mean, it was the same thing. Like, people thought that Darius Leonard was the worst pick of the draft.
You know, the NFL just seems afraid of those guys. And I think that Arizona didn't necessarily help that with what they tried to do with Isaiah. Because I think initially they tried just to do too many things with them. And he needed to settle into one spot before they started branching out and learn one spot. And I think that's the problem with Owusu-Koramoah. And Owusu-Koramoah is a smaller version of Isaiah Simmons. But I'm still surprised he's here. And in my mind, he's the best player on the board. From a Ravens standpoint, Josh, their primary needs are, you know, all their pass rushers basically left. They lost Judon. They don't have a number one receiver. I don't think that Elijah Moore is a great fit for them, even though I think he's the best receiver available, because, you know, they already have Hollywood Brown. I don't want to give Lamar Jackson a bunch of 5'8" targets. I think he needs bigger targets. And so Terrace Marshall is a possibility in this range. And then from an edge standpoint, I think you're talking about all minor reaches. Tryon, Ojulari, go ahead, Tosh.
They end up going receiver right here, which is where you said they didn't need a slot guy. And so the other guys you mentioned earlier in the draft is the guy that they end up picking up. So
the Ravens are ready.
Bateman?
With the 27th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Rashad Bateman, wide receiver, Minnesota.
Well, I think this is just...
lesson learned, Ramona. I outthought myself on every one of these. I had a little trick originally with the Ravens, I gave them both receivers. I was going to sacrifice one position. I gave them both Terrace Marshall and Rashad Bateman, and then I took Bateman out, and I kept them with Marshall. So I don't – this makes sense, quite honestly. Rashad Bateman is closer to a number one receiver. You know, Terrace Marshall has never really played the role of number one receiver. He's really been the third receiver at LSU. And Bateman has played the role of number one receiver, and it makes sense. You know, this organization, DaCosta, came out last week and was insulted, that highly insulted, that fans said that their receivers stunk and that they needed receivers, and then he comes out and drafts a receiver. Josh.
He kind of looks like Michael Gallup out here when I'm watching these highlights, man.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Well, he
I think that's right.
Well, I mean, at he's almost 6'1", 190, 195 pounds. He's the only one, left that can play outside, that's big enough and physical enough to play off and get off of man coverage, which you have to do as an outside receiver. Going against these enormous corners that are in the NFL that are all practically over 6'1", and 200 pounds and that can run. So he high points the ball really well. He runs really good routes. He catches the ball with his hands, which, you know, people say, you know, as a receiver, you know, they all should, but a lot of them don't. They let it into their body. They don't catch it out away from their body. And he does a really good job of catching it with his hands out away from his body, and then he catches it in stride. So I like this pick. I think it helps Lamar Jackson to have a guy on the outside that can take some pressure off him and what they like to do in their run game. And, you know, the other guys to me are all slot guys, and he's the only legitimate outside receiver that's first-round worthy. And, you know, the Ravens pulled the trigger.
Yeah, you know, they added Sammy Watkins on a short-term deal. But at this point, you know, Sammy has not been playing whole seasons. And clearly it was a position in need of upgrade. You know, again, we already said Elijah Moore didn't really fit them. They already have that element. I think the choices here were Bateman or Marshall, and they chose Bateman. So I'm not surprised by that selection. Now, I would think that with their next pick, they're going to try and address edge. I don't know what that means. You know, look, in their scheme, what they really want is an outside linebacker pass rusher in an odd front. And the thing is, I don't love any of those guys. I don't love Ojulari. I don't love Tryon. I actually do like Joseph Asai of Texas, but I think he's a little bit of a reach here, but I wouldn't be surprised. You know, the Ravens go one of those guys. The other guy that, you know, you need to think about here, and he would be used differently. I mean, when we get to them for their next pick, is Gregory Rousseau. Now, Gregory Rousseau, Calais Campbell is friends with Gregory Rousseau. He took exception to some of the comments that people were offering about Rousseau, and he's basically talked about how he's another version of himself. But what you're talking about is he would need to gain 10 or 15 pounds. And you're talking about guys, you know, playing a five-tech role. So we'll see what they do with their other pick. The Saints are up. And I don't think the Saints you know, there's a lot of rumor and conjecture today. There were stories about the Saints trading up 20 picks for a cornerback. I didn't see any of that happening. You know, we'll get your thoughts on this, but I think the possibilities here for the Saints are Asante Samuel, who I originally gave to them, and then I changed it to the Packers. I think Tyson Campbell, the Georgia cornerback, is a possibility. You know, again, Owusu-Koramoah is still on the board. I still think he's the best player available. I don't think there's any pass rusher here that I would look at for the Saints. But the one other guy I think that you have to think about is the Saints need to upgrade that wide receiver room right now. You know, they have Michael Thomas and not a lot else. They let Emmanuel Sanders go. The guy that makes perfect sense for the Saints now is Elijah Moore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be the pick. Yeah, I think that's going to be the pick. They've got to have a complement, you know, to the outside. So I would be surprised if they didn't go Elijah Moore.
Taj?
Yeah. Well, they didn't do that either, to be fair.
Okay, so...
I don't know this guy, bro, just because I hadn't watched this conference play all year. So I think it's Conference USA.
All right, so that makes me think that – are you telling me they went safety and they went morgue?
No, they went D-end.
They went D-end?
Like Houston.
They went Peyton Turner?
With the 28th pick in the 2021 NFL draft,
I'm sorry,
the New Orleans Saints select Peyton Turner, defensive end, Houston.
Oh my goodness.
Talk about falling in love.
Well, okay. All right. Here's the shocking pick of the draft. All right. Now, Peyton Turner, there were people who had Peyton Turner in the 200s. I was not one of them. I have Peyton Turner in my top 100. Where exactly? I'm not looking at that right now, but let me see.
I gave him a third round grade.
I had Peyton Turner, I want to say around 70. Somewhere in that range. But let me give you the but. You're talking about a guy who is 6'5", 270, with like 35-inch arms, a relentless motor. There's a lot to like about Peyton Turner. I don't hate this pick. I'm surprised by it, but I don't hate this pick. You know, it addresses a need area. You know, again, I had them going Jalen Phillips, which is the same need area. Phillips was obviously taken 10 spots before them, did not drop to the Saints. And so they went a little bit wild card here, a little bit rogue, but I don't hate it. I like Peyton Turner as a player. When Ty said Houston, I knew exactly who they had chosen. But did I expect to hear his name tonight? No. I'm fine with it, though, because he's securely in my top 100. I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. Did not expect to see. There's always at least one of those guys, and this is the guy. This is the guy who's completely out of left field, but I don't hate it. I like the player. That's why I don't hate it. I like the player. I think he was undervalued. And quite honestly, I think I could have had him higher. So I think it seems like a stretch, but you know, the Saints have spent a lot of capital fixing that defense in recent years. I'm sorry, Ramona, you said what? Okay, the Green Bay Packers. All right. Okay, here's where we are with the Packers. Right. I think that there are two possibilities that I can see right now. Well, again, I'm going to continue to say this. Best player available is still Owusu-Koramoah. All right. And somebody at some point is going to take him, although we're starting to run out of spots here. But when we went into this, I gave the Packers Asante Samuel because they needed a nickel corner type. They don't want to totally abandon the notion of King. But I could see them trying to replace him too. I think the need is corner. I think the Fitz or Asante Samuel or Tyson Campbell. But I think you have to consider Owusu-Koramoah too. Taj?
You were on the right track with what you were saying. It's not Jeremiah, but they definitely take a corner here, but it's not the two that you named. It's the guy Stokes? You mentioned earlier in the draft too. They went Stokes.
Okay. You know, look, Stokes and Marshall, to my way of thinking, I had them very close together. I had them both in the 30s. I thought either one of them could have gone in the first round. I put Campbell in, not Stokes. So Stokes is the Georgia DB that goes first. I'm a little surprised that he went before Campbell. But I'll tell you what's not surprising about it. The Green Bay Packers organization, this new Green Bay Packers organization, they draft exclusively off of RAS numbers. RAS numbers are the relative athletic scores, and they only draft guys who score 8.0 or better. Asante Samuel did not reach that 8.0.
With the 29th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers select Eric Stokes, defensive back, Georgia.
Yeah. It's almost like a surprise. You know, I'm okay with that. I mean, they needed a cornerback. I'm a little surprised at the order, but as I said, the Packers are a team that drafts off of RAS scores, and that's what they just did. The Packers just drafted the fastest corner in the draft, which, again, given their history of using relative athletic scores, by the way, that's a system that was designed by Kent Lee Platt, and that system has been pretty much adopted by the NFL. Some teams adhere to it more than others. The Packers are one that does, and they just found a guy who scored well above 8 in that system. So it's not that surprising a move. That brings us to the Bills, and guess what the Bills need? A cornerback. So it's not impossible that we go back-to-back Georgia corners here. I would think that you're talking Tyson Campbell, Asante Samuel. I'm still going to mention Owusu-Koramoah until somebody takes him. And then, quite honestly, there's only one running back left in the draft for 40 picks, and the Bills don't like their running back situation. So Javonte Williams has to come into play here too. Thoughts, Josh Phillips?
Well, yeah, I would have said running back. That, you know, you got to take a little pressure off of Josh Allen. That was the thing that killed him in the playoffs. They didn't have a complementary threat, and so once they put all the pressure on to Josh Allen, then they were able to double cover the receivers on the outside. And to me, it has to be a running back. I thought ETN might be there, but he's already gone, obviously, to Jacksonville. So I had ETN going to Buffalo, but, you know, that's the way the draft's gone. But I definitely think it's a running back.
Hey, one more name here still on the board, and I still think they need some diversity in the receiving core. Elijah Moore is still on the board. And I think he should have been gone 10 picks ago. So he's a guy who's still there. They definitely need to diversify the offense. Look, the only running game they had last year was Josh Allen. Josh Allen's like a one-man gang,
right,
along with Stephon Diggs. You know, so a two-man gang is what they were. They could not run the ball at all. Allen was the only run game they had. And so they've put way too much on their young quarterback. And, look, they have some offensive line needs to help that run game. But, look, their issues or their answers at running back with Moss and Singletary, you know, I just don't know that either one of them is athletic enough. I think Williams is more athletic than either one of them, so I think he would be an upgrade. So, look, the Bills actually are going to come away with a good player here. They have a number of choices. Owusu-Koramoah is still there. two cornerbacks in Tyson Campbell and Asante Samuel, Elijah Moore, and or the running back, Javonte Williams. I think the Bills are sitting here, good football team, good young football team, and they have about five good choices here, Taj.
Yeah, they got a lot of different options right here. And I would agree with Josh on that. Like, when I was watching playoffs last year, I was like, man, they would be able to be so much better. And Josh Allen would be alleviated a little bit with the running game. But, you know, again, I would love to see them diversify the receiver room. And I also wouldn't be surprised if they took a DB here. So they kind of got they're in a good spot, within that. I think if they go running back here, they can find some receivers later. I think if they go receiver here, they could always find another complimentary back. I mean, Singletary, look, I loved him when he was coming from FAU or FIU, wherever he was at prior to. He just hasn't been the player that I thought he would be at this particular point. But even if you got to wait, he'll suffice for the time being if you want to continue to build that receiver room. And that's what I would do. I mean, Stephon Diggs is an absolute dog. We've seen that, but you got to put somebody beside him out there, man, to stretch that field a little bit more, or at least come in and be that low to mid-range type player.
Yeah. I think, again, for a team picking 30th, I think they have some good options here, better options than quite honestly I would have expected them to have at this point. So I think they're going to go one of the guys we just mentioned, and again, they have some – they have some options. You would think that they do have a corner need opposite White. There's no question about that. But they also need to help their young quarterback. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be. I don't think they will, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went Freiermuth right here. It would make sense.
Yeah, I don't think they feel bad about Knox. But again, nothing would surprise me at this point. I do think Freiermuth will
exactly.
Come off in the... Okay.
I do none think... of the people that we just...
None?
Okay, the...
Taj, how about this? How about Jason Owe, the outside, the D-end edge guy out of Penn State?
With the 30th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Gregory Rousseau, defensive end, Miami.
Well, you know, again, we just spoke about Rousseau and the possibility of him going to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Right. He's actually probably a better scheme fit in Buffalo. It's certainly a need. They could not rush the passer at all. It's another need area. They're getting older up front. They needed a complementary pass rush piece. I think Rousseau is going to take a little time to develop. He's a guy that there are a lot of questions about, but I think he has talent and he has drive. I think he wants to be better, which is a big part of success. He certainly knows how to use his arm length. Look, at Miami, they played him a lot in a zero technique. He got most of his sacks out of that role. He did not get most of his sacks coming off the edge. They slid him inside in a rabbit type package, and that's where he was actually most effective, playing over the center. About two thirds of his sacks, of his 15 sacks, actually came that way. I don't think people realize that. But I think he does give them some scheme versatility as a result, and I'm okay with this pick. I'm a little surprised by it. It's a need. There's no question about that, but still a little bit surprised by that pick given some of the players that were left on the board. Josh?
Is there anybody in this draft that turns into a Frank Clark type?
I think that the guy with the athletic potential to do it is Joseph Asai, who's still on the board. Again, he's relatively raw. He's incredibly explosive. You know, I don't think Texas used him perfectly. They, you know, they moved him from outside linebacker to DN. I think you need to decide how you're going to play him and let him play there. But he's a guy I like, and I'll tell you something else. He's a really tough and intelligent kid. I think there's a lot of reason to like Osai. This draft is not strong on edge guys. That's why the New Orleans Saints hopped right over a whole bunch of them and jumped to Peyton Turner from Houston. So, no, I don't. I think the closest thing is probably Osai, and that's going to take a few years, I think, in development. But he's a guy I would watch for if you want to see a surprise pass rusher develop, because I think he's raw. You know, the other guy that hasn't been chosen yet is Jason Oway, the freak athlete out of Penn State. I'm not surprised he hasn't gone yet. But I also thought there was a chance he could go late in this area. And we have just two picks left. And the Baltimore Ravens and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that'll wrap it up for the night. I had the Ravens originally with two receivers because I was just playing the odds there. I dumped the one that they took, the one they didn't take. And then in the other pick, I gave him Aziz Ojulari. I still think the Ravens have a desperate need to address the edge. And so I would think that the Ravens have to go Ojulari, Joe Tryon of Washington, or Joseph Osai, the guy we just talked about, out of Texas. I would think, again, acknowledging that Owusu-Koramoah is still on the board. Josh?
Yeah, I'm not as big on this pick with the Ravens with two people still left out there, and that's Koramoah, number one, and then Oway second. I thought and still think that they were better players than Rousseau. They're more athletic. They're more explosive. Especially Koramoah. Oway tested off the charts, so I think you're going to get, a faster development, to get him on the field as a rookie. So, with those two guys still around, especially Koramoah, with Koramoah still there, I would have taken him over Rousseau at this pick.
Well, the other thing – the other difficulty here for the Ravens is, just like Green Bay has a strict RAS athletic score, the Ravens only draft edge guys with over 8 sacks and 22 tackles for loss. That's what they do. They have, 8 sacks and 12 tackles for loss. That's what they do. They adhere to that system religiously, and that's the problem with Oway in relation to the Ravens. Now, they might take him, and maybe they'll break that code because I don't like their options. Again, if they draft best player, that's Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I don't think that's debatable. But, I will say this. Joseph Osai, the Texas DN outside linebacker, also tested really well athletically. He ran like 4.6. His vertical was 41.5. So he also tested well athletically. And he has more production than Jason Oway does. Again, I think they have some options here. I don't know that they're ideal options, any of them, which is why, again, they could fall to that best player available. The other thing is we have not seen any other unexpected offensive linemen leak in to this back area of the draft. I think you're going to see a ton of offensive linemen drafted tomorrow. And, of course, it's going to be interesting to see what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do at 32, who really have no needs. And will just – in fact, Josh, I'll tell you what. I was just thinking athlete, developmental athlete at 32 for Tampa, and we're not there yet. But the two guys I was thinking about for Tampa were Jamin Davis, who already went, and that's who I had them taking, and Jason Oway. I thought about both those guys for a team that doesn't need anything immediately. I thought the athleticism of either one of those guys would be a good fit for the type of players that Tampa has been drafting. So if Oue doesn't go to the Ravens, he would seem a live possibility to the Bucs.
Broadcasting live from the Priority One Security Studios, WCCP 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT, 1560 Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg, the Upstate's number one choice for sports. We are the Roar.
All right. Well, hey, the Ravens pick is in. They've apparently decided, I would guess, on an edge guy or a Owusu-Koramoah. I mean, those would seem to be the two positions. The edge guy seems a little bit forced, but they don't have anybody. So they don't. I'm not sure how much choice they have in this deal. I assume you have the info, Taj. So are we on the right track or not here?
You got it. I mean, you got it right. I don't know how to pronounce the name. You feel me? But I think it's a Wuse.
Did you just turn him into a wussy? I'm not quite sure whether you're saying they went Aziz Ojulari or Joseph Asai.
No, it's a wussy.
Or a wussy. The Ravens picked a wussy. Or a wookie. Which one was it,
TB? You're talking about a Owusu-Koramoah?
With the 31st pick in the 2021 NFL together. Draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Jason Oue, linebacker, Penn State.
Mm. Oh, they went Oue. Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say, but. No.
You gave me some combination of all four addressers' names. I wasn't exactly sure which guy we were talking about there. Jason Oue does in fact go to the Ravens. The Ravens break the tradition of the numbers and they go for the athlete here. Not particularly surprised. I think that says more about those other guys than it does anything else. It says that they're not comfortable with any of them. So Jason Oue gets into round one, a guy who had zero sacks, but is the fastest zero sack edge guy in history. And really, you know, according to all reports, he's highly competitive. And I think he's actually going to be great. I just think it's going to take a little bit of time. So I'm okay with that pick. I'm okay with that pick. And that leaves us with just the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it takes away both guys I would have given to the Buccaneers because Jamin Davis is gone. I don't know. I really have no thought. The Bucs have no needs. They can go anywhere they want. The two best athletes are gone away and Jamin Davis. I mean, Owusu-Koramoah is still there. You know, he's still the best player available. I don't have any idea what they do. I mean, they could go running back. All their running backs are in the last year of their contract. Javonte Williams would give them a big power back. After next year, they're going to have to let a lot of those backs go. I guess that's conceivable, but I don't really have any thought on Tampa at this point because I thought that they would go athlete, Jamin Davis or Jason Oue. Both guys are gone. So, you know, they could add to the defensive line. They're getting a little older there. Christian Barmore is still out there. I guess that's a possibility. Offensive line, they could add depth. Maybe
it's some guy that nobody ever heard of.
Taj just said this is some guy I've never heard
with
of.
With the 32nd pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Joe Tryon, linebacker, Washington.
Yeah, again, we just mentioned Joe Tryon. What are you, sleeping there already, Taj? Yeah, Joe Tryon was one of the guys we suggested to Baltimore. And Baltimore went a different direction. Tryon is a productive edge guy set out this year. Athletically, maybe not quite the par with some of these other guys, but still good. Ran a 4.61, 4.62, somewhere in that range. Relentless motor. He's a worker. You know, I think fit. You know, Tampa's getting a little older on the edge. Guys like Jason Pierre-Paul, they need an infusion of a young guy. Try and can set the edge, too. He's 265 pounds, so, you know, he's not a little guy. He's about 6'5". He's a good athlete, and as I said, a nonstop motor guy. So, look, I think it's a good solid pick for Tampa, who's made a lot of good solid picks in recent years. That wraps it up. It's been an extremely eventful round one. No question about that. At this, I'm just glad to have all 32 guys in terms of moving forward with the top 100, because the draft certainly didn't fall my way this year, which is the domino effect that you never know about. You know, early thoughts, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars did well. I think the New York Jets did well. I think some teams moved around and seemingly did well for themselves. I think you have to give the Chicago Bears some credit. You know, yeah. I think they did the right thing. Picks I wonder about. I'm not a big fan of what the Raiders did. Not a big fan of what the Miami Dolphins did with their first pick. Even though I love the player, still not a big fan of the move. I hate what the Denver Broncos did. It's inexplicable to me that Justin Fields is there for you. You haven't fixed quarterback in a million years. The guy falls right in your lap and you don't take him. I just do not understand it. I do not understand that at all. Of all the things that happened in round one and some of the wild things, Peyton Turner from Houston jumping into the first round, I actually get that. I don't mind that pick. But the pick I don't understand is the Denver Broncos. It's not that they didn't get a good player. I just don't get these idiots. You know, guys, get your last thoughts on this, then we're going to wrap it up. We'll let Ramon and both of you go home. I appreciate all of you. A great effort all night. Tremendous coverage of round one of the draft. Under John Elway, the Denver Broncos passed on Josh Allen. And John Elway should have seen himself in Josh Allen. They passed on Josh Allen, and they drafted a defensive end, Bradley Chubb. I like Chubb, but you can't pass on Josh Allen. I said that then. They dumped Elway because he just couldn't get it right. Could not get the quarterback situation right. George Payton said his basic job was to fix quarterback, to bring in competition for quarterback. And once again, the Denver Broncos have passed on a potentially elite quarterback, this time to draft a DB. I just think it's hard to understand. Thoughts on that, Taj, and then Josh, and then we'll close shop for the night.
Yeah, I guess they're just infatuated with Drew Locke's dancing abilities. No, I don't know, man. Surtain was, you know, can play. I think he's going to be a really good corner in this league for a very long time, but you just don't do what they did, man. And it's going to come back to bite them. And, you know, they're going to lose a – I don't know. I think that somebody's going to get fired after this year, because I think they're going to be middle of the pack.
Well, you know, they better hope that Drew Locke takes an enormous step forward. You know, he has the arm talent, and he's a pretty good athlete. He was missing Cortland Sutton last year, but
right.
I don't know. Maybe they believe in him more than I thought they did, but you can't say, competition for Drew Locke and go bring in Teddy Bridgewater. It just doesn't cut it.
For sure. Well, and from what I understand, like, the tough part about keeping a guy like Drew Locke is, like, I know somebody knows him on a personal level, and they just said that, like, Drew Locke just doesn't like football that much, you know? he's not one of those, like, this is a This is a true statement, bro. They say he, like, he doesn't love it, you know?
What are you doing there if you don't like it?
Well, again, if that's true, and maybe it is, I mean, he sort of has that look on his face, quite honestly, all the time. Right. But if that's true, then it makes it even more of a sin that you don't draft Fields when he falls right to you. I mean,
right.
Honestly, of all the things that happened tonight, that's the most inexplicable thing in my mind, because Fields is better than either of those two cats, either Bridgewater or Drew Lock, and he fell right to you, and you don't have a quarterback that you believe in, and you've said that repeatedly, and you went to both his pro days. I mean, what didn't you see? I don't get it. Josh Phillips, final thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't understand that move either. You know, the only thing I can come up with is they went with the best, most athletic player that was still there, and they feel that Bridgewater is going to be their guy. So, and that's literally what it came down to, is they felt that Bridgewater was a better quarterback, I guess, because of experience, than bringing in a rookie quarterback that may have an issue with epilepsy. And I think that risk scared them away and caused them to do something more safe than what was right. So we'll see how it works out. I think, you know, the Jets had an awesome draft. I think the Giants had a very good draft. You know, getting those draft picks, I don't blame Chicago to move up to get the guy that they wanted. I wouldn't be surprised if that turned into a Deshaun Watson type situation for the Bears. I really, really like Justin Fields, and I think he's going to do really well in Chicago. So, and then the biggest head scratcher for me is San Francisco at number three, going with Trey Lance. You know, had they gone with Mac Jones or Justin Fields or even Kyle Pitts, you know, I could understand it. But Trey Lance, I mean, he was a 50% completion percentage at the smaller college level with outmanned teams, you know, and now you're going to put him in a very complicated system and expect him to lead you to a Super Bowl. So we'll see if that works out.
Yeah, again, on the Bridgewater deal, look, let's just be clear. The Carolina Panthers paid the Denver Broncos to take him away from them. Okay, that's the truth of it. They paid $7 million of his $10 million salary so that he would go away. They don't think he can play at all, and he can't. He was dead last in the National Football League in completion percentage on throws over 10 yards. He cannot throw the ball vertically down the field at all. You got a bunch of talented receivers in Denver, in Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant, and you just brought in a guy who can't throw a football 20 yards down the field, and you passed on a guy with a rocket arm, and, you know, we're talking about athletes, you know, you passed on a guy at quarterback who's actually faster than the cornerback you drafted. I don't know. I am puzzled by many, many things that happened tonight, gentlemen, but I am most puzzled by that because, again, Peyton's charge was to fix quarterback. That has been the biggest issue. I promise you, if you were to poll the fan bases around America tonight and ask them how happy they are, I think Jacksonville fans are really happy. I think the Chicago Bears fans are ecstatic. You know, they went to bed with redhead Andy Dalton at quarterback and woke up to Justin Fields. So I think they're a really happy fan base. I think the 49ers fan base is happy. They may not know any better, but I think they're happy because they didn't want Mac Jones. But I think the Denver Broncos fan base has to be completely disillusioned. I mean, I can't wait to see some Denver Bronco message boards to see what those people are saying about an old defensive coach and his new partner, George Payton, drafting Patrick Surtain above Justin Fields for a team that admittedly doesn't have a quarterback. I'm sorry. That's just inexplicable to me. Of all the things that happened tonight, I have zero answer for that because Teddy Bridgewater, I'm sorry, he sucks. He can't play. He can't play, and you don't think your other quarterback can play. And you got insane weapons. Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, K.J. Hamler, Noah Fant. I'm not sure there are three teams in the NFL that have better receiving groups than that group. And they passed on a guy who could have activated all of them for a cornerback, just like they previously passed on Josh Allen for a defensive end. I'm sorry. It was wrong then. It's wrong now. They just don't get it. There's some of these teams that never get it. The Raiders fan base, I don't think they should be very happy either. A great job, Taj. Great job, Josh. Appreciate you all night long. Terrific gavel-to-gavel coverage of round one. I think we offered the most informative coverage in the country tonight, and I appreciate you two guys being a part of it. And, of course, Ramona for making it all go all night long and putting in all that extra effort. I thank all of you. I thank all of you who joined us tonight and listened all night. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you very much. It's been a big day of local programming here on the station. 18, 19 hours of local coverage, and it culminated with this mock draft coverage. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. It was fun, man.
Thank you, Walt. Had a blast.
Good night, all. I will see you for Road Rage tomorrow in the standard time frame.
Broadcasting live from the Priority One Security Studios, WCCP 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT, 1560 Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg, the Upstate's number one choice for sports. We are the Roar.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is not only home of the lifetime warranty, but the winner of the Nissan Award of Excellence for 3 years in a row. Granger Nissan is here to serve the Upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selections of Nissans in the Upstate, Granger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
If you have been arrested for DUI or any other criminal offense, you may be facing significant consequences and probably feel overwhelmed, embarrassed, and intimidated by the legal system.